Hey Cody.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
Good.
Excellent. Okay, perfect. So hopefully we can actually cut this and tidy it up at the beginning so that we
Okay.
have it fresh, but maybe we can't. So maybe people who are listening to this will just hear us rabbiting on for the first 25 seconds.
That works.
Okay, cool. But this is the first episode. Kicking It Across the Pond is the name that you came up with, right?
That's correct. I think it's perfect because we're obviously across the pond, and we're talking about football slash
We are.
soccer.
We are. We are indeed. And we're probably going to focus of this whole podcast series on the Fantasy Premier League, fantasy football, right? So the one that we're taking part in. But of course, it goes across anything to do with the Premier League because if you're taking part in another fantasy football platform, the players, the transfers, all that kind of stuff, it is still all relevant, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a fun take, something that I'm new to, but don't tell any of my buddies, but I like English fantasy football better than the American fantasy football.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well, and maybe you should give a little bit of introduction as to how you did last year. Obviously, you'd never really watched an English soccer match before, an English football match before. And I invited you to our league that we'd put together, and you ended up winning.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's kind of crazy. So I live in Memphis, so soccer or football isn't really big here. We are getting a USL team though, a minor league to the MSL, so that's really exciting. But I grew up not really into soccer or football. I guess I would get interested once every 4 years, when the World Cup happened, because the World Cup is a really exciting time. Even in America, it feels like it's the one event where if you go to a bar, you go to a restaurant or something like that, everyone in the bar is cheering for the same team. And that typically doesn't happen in other sports, in the NBA or college football or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that was really contagious. But I never really, they Premier League games over in the United States happen at weird times, and I was never up for it until my wife and I, we had our first child last year in July, so it was perfect for the Premier League. And Chris, we worked together, and there was a work fantasy league happening, and half delirious with a newborn, I decided, hey, I'd sign up. And I think the first couple of weeks I had to even send my team over to you to see if my players were actually like legitimate players and actually
Yeah.
had playing time. So
And then I ended up, I think I ended up, I think after about 5 or 6 weeks, you were like firmly balancing yourself near the top, and I was right down near the bottom. So I think you kind of moving along and actually picking your team and getting the confidence on it after those few weeks was probably the right thing to do. Otherwise, you would have ended up near me.
fantasy football is fantasy football regardless. But I ended up with my newborn, I ended up having to be up at 7 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday mornings. So I won some brownie points by taking the early shifts on the weekend, and me and the baby would just sit and watch Premier League soccer. So
Yeah.
but it was addicting, and I got hooked.
Well, it's funny because obviously I'm from England originally, and I moved here just over a year ago to the United States, based in Washington, D.C. So it's actually worked out really well for me as well, because the first thing that I do on a Saturday and Sunday morning is watch these games. So it's the perfect way to start the weekend, even for someone who doesn't have a child. So you can kind of get rid of all the football in the morning, and then you've got the rest of the day ahead of you at the weekend. So Yeah, it's really exciting. And obviously, your second season of taking note of what's going on in the Premier League, how do you think the first 2 weeks have gone?
It's
Wait, yeah.
been crazy. You know, the heavyweights, the Man City and Liverpool, they're still really good. But it's interesting. You know, we don't have a sport in the United States like the Premier League where there's three new teams every year. So it's very interesting to see how these teams adapt to that play. So it's been really interesting. I think it's still too early. I think the World Cup made it difficult. I think some players might not be in form yet, still tired. And then you never know who Pep's going to play. So while Manchester City is pretty essential, it's tough to pick the right guy. So it's interesting for sure.
Well, you say that, and it is interesting because I'm just looking through Manchester City's next few games, and it's very, 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 very telling. So they beat Arsenal, then they absolutely hammered Huddersfield. Their next game is against Wolves.
Yeah,
Their
they're
next game is the game after that is against Newcastle. The one after that is against Fulham. The
Yeah,
one
they're
after that is Cardiff. Then it's Brighton, and then Liverpool. So their next five games are very, very straightforward, or they should be. Do you think that Aguero or some getting a few Man City players is the right thing to do?
I think you have to. I'm doubled up. I'm doubled up on Man City's defense. And I think it's pretty popular. I actually that was one of my transfers this week. I had two transfers, and the whole goal was to get Kane in. But Aguero went nuts, and I started looking at these Manchester City fixtures, and you're right. I think the safest play is to have I have Ederson, and then I have Mendy. And then just take a shot on one of their forwards or midfielders. With KDB being out, I think it's a little bit more helpful, but I would have it's still I feel like Pep just draws names out of a hat sometimes.
They're all so good, but that's a problem because you could have Aguero in your team, but maybe he won't play a whole game and therefore he may not score. But then another week, he'll score a hat trick.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
honestly that happened to me this week, Chris. I had the captain on Aguero all week, but then I started getting nervous. I you know he played 90 minutes in the first game, and I was like, you know, maybe he won't play a full 90, so maybe I should put the captain on Salah. It feels like a safer bet. Thank goodness Salah got that late assist to get two assists, but I'm still kicking myself for taking the armband off of Aguero.
Well, it is that's interesting because you've kind of got to weigh it up, and up front, it's not possible to have Salah, Kane, and Aguero. So, if you're not going to have Aguero, you're going to have Kane, and then you've got to work out between Salah and then one of those two forwards who's going to get the captain's armband. And at the moment, to me, it seems like I've got Kane up front right now. I feel quite tempted to actually take him out and put in Aguero for the next few games. But then, as you say, he may not play.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
absolutely. It's tough, and Tottenham's fixtures are not as easy. Definitely not as easy
No.
as Man City, but
Is it Man
Tottenham.
United? And then it's Watford. And then it's Liverpool. And then
Yeah.
it's
So.
Brighton. And then Huddersfield.
Yeah,
And then
you're right.
Cardiff. So
Right.
I think after the next 3 games, the next 3 weeks that go by, after that, there's probably four or five fixtures where you think to yourself, Spurs should be able to beat the likes of West Ham. And then it gets up to mid to end of October, and then Spurs v Man City. So that's when it starts to get a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I agree. I'm now since I since I burned my two transfers, I normally wait to the end of the week to transfer. But I was nervous about my team value. And then Aguero played so well. I actually did my transfers on Sunday night, before the game week even ended. Wow. So thank goodness, I don't have Wan Bissaka, who got a red card. Like, thank goodness my players stayed healthy.
What were your transfers, if you don't mind?
Sure. Yeah. So I had Josh King, and Josh King has just been terrible. And I think Wilson has outplayed him. And then I had Eric Bailly, for Man United, and Man United's defense just hasn't looked nearly as strong, as they were last year. So what I did, I saved my first week's transfer. So I had two free transfers. So I went King, to, Jimenez for the Wolves, and I took out Eric Bailly and went for Mendy for Manchester City.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's good.
I've still got 0.4 in the bank. So
that's like me. I've got 0.4 in the bank, but I've lost 300,000 on players decreasing in value. So I need to get rid of Smalling. I need to take him out. I thought he was going to be a starter for Man United, but he hasn't played yet. And then Jota for Wolves. I think he's worth keeping him. He's just had a bad game last week instead of, you know, the first week he got an assist, I think. And then Eriksen's decreased in value, but I think he's still worth keeping in and not having to worry about. So my main transfer out this week with my one free transfer is going to be Smalling. And I'm not quite sure who to put in at the moment, because at the moment I've got also Trippier, Mendy, Tompkins from Palace, and then also Daniels from Bournemouth. So I'm thinking maybe I'll go for a Burnley defender instead of Smalling and really save some money. I mean, I can get someone like Tarkowski in for $5 million, and he's scoring a lot of points. Similarly, I could get someone in from Liverpool such as Robertson, but he's $6 million. I'm just trying to think that maybe I'll go at the cheaper end of the market.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I think you know, I love Eriksen, and he's on my team now, but I'm a little nervous. It felt like in the two early games that he was playing a little bit deeper and not getting this forward. And what really concerns me is Trippier taking the free kicks. The last two free kicks I've seen from Trippier, the one against Fulham and then the one in the World Cup, there's no reason to take him off. And if Eriksen isn't taking free kicks anymore, that makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, so his assists. So a question on that then. A man who's scoring some goals for Liverpool at the moment is Mane. So
yes,
he's playing really well. He's valued at 9.8. I could afford him if I wanted to take out Eriksen and put him in up with my 400,000 in the bank. Is he someone that people should have in addition to Salah? So you would actually go two Liverpool midfielders?
It's a tough question, I think. I'm currently tripled up on Liverpool, but I have Robertson, Salah, and Firmino. Mane last year was really, really strong, but then he had an injury, and then he had the ban for when he kicked Ederson. So his season never really took off, but he has performed really, really strong. It almost makes you wonder if he's going to cut down on Salah's production, if you should make the shift to Mane, and then that frees you up for more money for someone say like Sterling, or someone like that. Yeah. So it's really interesting.
Especially when you look at their next two games. Liverpool have got Brighton this weekend at home, and then they're playing Leicester away the following weekend. So, and then of course I think they've got Spurs the weekend after. So it seems like certainly for the next 2 weeks, it might not be a bad idea to see if you can get Mane or Salah in the team. I mean, I may consider it, though I'm more intent on trying to get that Smalling out of the team because he's kind of bringing my value down a little bit. So that'll be interesting to see how he continues. But you're right. I mean, his temperament and then also injuries. Just need to keep an eye on him. But yeah,
Yeah.
he could be the man. I don't know. I mean, you know, Salah, obviously he had that injury.
In the right before the World Cup in the Champions League. Yeah.
So does that make a difference to how what his fitness is like, and is he back too quickly, and is he going to perform? I mean, you'd think that he if he's playing, he should be fit, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Salah's obviously performed really well. He's got a goal and two assists, I believe, so far this year. So he's still performing really strong. But when you have to give up 13 million for him, it's if you can find a way to get him out and transfer those funds around your team, it can help. But I agree with you. Anyone who is losing value for you right now, it's way too early in the season to be losing team value. So that persuaded me in my transfers earlier this week.
Cool, excellent. And then the other thing that I had on the talking points for this episode was any top tips on players. So thinking about cheaper players that are performing really, really well. And you know, there have been a couple of top performers. I mean, even if you look at how Cardiff are doing with their goalkeepers, the top performer at the moment with 22 points in the Premier League fantasy football, and he's only 4.5 million. There's the likes of Cook for Bournemouth, who's 4.6 million. He's got a whole load of points. And then
Yeah,
I can never say
Richarlison.
so. R yeah,
Yeah.
Richarlison, he's 6.8, really good value, 23 points.
Yeah. It's I like all of those guys that you mentioned, and but the only one I own is Richarlison, and he's interesting 'cause he started really strong with Watford last year. Everton's fixtures are pretty friendly for the next 3 weeks. They play Bournemouth, Huddersfield, and West Ham. And he's scoring at such a high clip. You know, he's got 2 goals. He has 3 goals actually. And he even made a comment earlier this week that he wants to be the goal leader, or he wants to win the Golden Boot, which seems a little difficult with the likes of, you know, Kane and Salah still in the league and healthy. But you know, if he's going to be shooting as much as he does, he takes a lot of shots. And if you can still get on the bandwagon, at 6.8, he's still easy to manage into your team. Where, you know, Mane or someone like that or Sterling, might be a little bit more difficult to find the funds. 6.8, you can still find, I think.
And what about Pedro as well for Chelsea? Pedro, obviously, he had a bit of a in and out season last year, wasn't playing every single game, but at 6.6, so I guess he started the season at 6.5, he's performing really well. He's got a couple of goals, played both games so far. Under
Yeah.
new management, he could be someone who's a little bit of a mainstay in the team.
Yeah, Chelsea has really surprised me so far. The one thing I'm nervous about with Chelsea's midfielders is it's kind of like Man City, but on a smaller degree. I don't know who's going to play because, you know, Hazard came off the bench last week. So, is it Willian? Is it Pedro? Is it Conte? Is that I could be butchering all these people's names.
No, you got that right. It's cool.
But yeah, I really like Pedro. I think he's been really strong, and Conte's been really strong too. But you just unsure this early in the year. It's tough to make too many changes because you don't know if these changes are gonna last for the season.
Well, the other interesting one from Chelsea was I found a deep-lying midfielder. Again, he's Jorginho, the Italian guy, and I think he took a penalty for them in the first game. So I guess he's their penalty taker. So
Yeah.
him and Kante are around 5 or 5.1 million. So they're both probably going to be playing every game because of the style they play. They're going to pick up clean sheets. They're going to get probably at least 3 points every game. And then they're going to chip in with the odd goal or assist. So from a top performing team, they're probably good options.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're great value plays. You know, they're, you know, at 5 million, that, or that's probably going to be your fourth, maybe your fifth midfielder. So if you can get someone who plays consistently for a top tier team at 5 million, I think that's a worthwhile gamble.
Yeah. Absolutely. Arsenal have had a bit of an indifferent start to the season, and I was just looking at Iwobi. I think he scored in the first game, and he's actually classified as a midfielder, but I think he plays up front for them when he plays. So he could also be a good buy at 5.5, as could Walcott, who left Arsenal and went to Everton. He's at 6.5, and I think he's chipped in with a couple of goals as well. So he's kind of just behind Richarlison in terms of point scoring. So a couple of other good options there.
Yeah, Walcott burned me last year. I got him in shortly after he made the transfer. I think he scored like on his first match with Everton, and then he did absolutely nothing the rest of the year. So he's burned me. So burn me once, and I will never fall for you again. So Walcott will never be in my team.
Keep him out.
That's right.
That's interesting. So is there anything else that we want to cover off here, or shall we save it for the second episode, which we'll do earlier next week, so we can go right in after game week 3?
Yeah.
Unless we want to run through our teams. Do you want to run through our teams quickly?
Sure. We can run through your teams. Do you want to, kick us off?
Yeah, I can. So what I'll pick is a starting 11 basically for this game week. I've got Edison in goal. I've got Trippier, Daniels and Mendy from Man City at the back. I've got Eriksen, Jota, Kante, Salah and Schürrle from Fulham. Not sure whether he's going to play too much, though. That's a little bit of an issue. So I might choose to put in Tompkins from Palace as a fourth defender and have 4-4-2 formation. And then I've got Kane and currently Jimenez up front. Jimenez obviously scored in his first match in English football, so for Wolves, but they're playing Man City. So I might even choose to drop in Camara from Fulham, who started against Spurs. They've got Burnley this week, so that could be quite an interesting game.
Yeah, I think so too. And Karma or Camara or however you say his name.
Camara.
Camara, perfect. Yeah. He's interesting because if he is playing 4.5, that's a great value at the forward. So to run through my team really quick, I also have Ederson in goal. Also have Mendy. I have me for Burnley, Robertson and Tompkins. That's my defense. And then I'm going Richarlison, Salah, Eriksen, and Carney from Fulham. He has not shown well in the past two game weeks. So he's somebody I'm looking at getting out. And then my forwards are Firmino and Aguero. And currently my armband is on Salah because it's really hard to take the armband off Salah. But we'll see. It might be another late night change, and I'm sure if that happens, Aguero will come on for 10 minutes against the Wolves.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Actually, I've got my captain's armband on Kane, and I'm hoping that he can score against Man United, but I might do what you're saying. Like, I might do a last-minute change and actually put it on Salah, I think.
Yeah, it's a tough one for sure, because Man United, they were torched by Brighton, which is really, really crazy, but you never know. That's why we watch.
Who knows in the Premier League?
That's right.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So, unless there's anything you want quickly mention, Cody, I think this could be the end of our first episode.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think it was great to kick it off and introduce ourselves, and looking forward to another great game week.
Excellent. Okay, cool. And to everyone that's listening, make sure you tune in for the next episode, and we'll get a regular cadence on when we get these going out. So, it'll be a certain day of shortly after the weekend of every week.
Yep, sounds great.
All right, excellent. Bye for now.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.